Oh, wait a minute. Shoot. Somebody. Come here. The Senate will please come to order. The clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson. Atkinson. Bates. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Hass. Johnson. Johnson. Cruz. Cruz. Metzger. Bonis Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Nelson. Przonsky. Przonsky. Rosenbaum. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Schrader. Starr. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Verger. Walker. Walker. Whitsett. Whitsett. Winters. Winters. President Courtney.
He's here.
A quorum being present, we will post the colors, and Senator Richard Devlin will lead us in the pledge.
6, 7, and 8.
Today's invocation is from Pastor Jeff Harlow from the Trinity Reformation Church here in Salem.
Let us pray. Gracious, merciful, and all-wise triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are the Lord. You made all things, rule all things, and from you every good and perfect gift flows. Humbly I call upon you, gracious Father, on behalf of these men and women gathered here. Your holy word teaches that no authority exists but that which you have ordained. And so, as you have placed these senators in authority, as you have given them the duty to serve the people of Oregon, and as they proceed with the business before them this day, grant them, O God, your gracious presence. Give them the support of your grace, and grant them wisdom to lead and to rule wisely. Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, suffered unjustly from those he came to serve. Likewise, many of these leaders have been grieved by the treatment they have received from some of those they represent. We live in a day in which those who are in authority are often derided and seldom shown the respect due to their offices. This mirrors the way, O God, that we as a people have turned our backs on your gracious government and have rebelled against your rule. Have mercy upon us, O God. Forgive us our sins. And give to these leaders your grace to bear up under the hardships they face, even as Christ Jesus suffered for us without complaining. Lord God, our governor, whose glory is in all the world, we commend this state to your merciful care, that being guided by your providence, we may dwell secure in your peace. Grant to these men and women, our state senators, and to all in authority, wisdom and strength to know and to do your will. Fill each of them with the love of truth and of righteousness, and make them always mindful of their calling to serve this state and people in reverence before you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Senator Devlin, for your leading us to the pledge. And thank you, Pastor Jeff Harlow, for your invocation today. Luther Ellenson is the honorary page for Senator Frank Morris. So, Luther, we're pleased that you would come today to be one of our pages. Under courtesies, I just want to acknowledge on the floor, rather than have us all introduced individually, there are interns today with many of you. The interns are from the Gilkey International School. It's a middle school in Portland. 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. As you noticed on the floor, many of our fellow senators have an intern with them from that outstanding school. And I know that you're outstanding students, outstanding Oregonians, and we're very pleased that each and every one of you would come here today. You honor us by your presence. We look forward to working with you today, and you will help our individual senators get through this day. So thank you very much on behalf of the entire Senate. Each of you young people from the Gilkey International School for coming here today and being an intern. We appreciate that very, very much. I want to recognize Senator Frank Morris, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. In addition to your recognition, which was very much appreciated, of Luther Ellenson, our honorary page, I would like you to extend courtesies to his mother, Kristen, who is on the north side aisle, joining us today. So would appreciate that recognition, Mr. President.
Thank you, Christian. Thank you very much for coming here today and being with your son. This is your state capitol, and we hope that you will also have an enjoyable day today as you work with Senator Frank Morris, as well as the state legislature and our state government during this very difficult time in our history. So thank you for coming here today. We'd like to extend the courtesy of the Senate to you. Recognize Senator Starr, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. You recognized and mentioned our opening ceremony, the pastor from Trinity Reformation Church. I just wanted to make note that Pastor Harlow is leading the Bible study, co-leading a Bible study that occurs Wednesday morning here in the Capitol, 7 a.m. If individuals are interested in that, they can contact my office and get them the details. But I'd like to acknowledge and recognize and thank the pastor for doing that. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to thank you for acknowledging the Gilkey students who are here today. The school happens to be in my district, so I'm proud to have them all here. I wanted to ask for the courtesies of the Senate to be extended to my constituents, John and Linda Hyde, who are here in the gallery. They're from Beaverton, and they're here today because they were attending our Senate Judiciary Committee. So please extend courtesies of the Senate to John and Linda Hyde.
John and Linda, thank you for coming here today. We hope you've enjoyed the attendance at the Judiciary Committee, one of the great committees in the legislative process. This is your capital. Hope you'll stay on today and watch our session as well and spend the whole day with us as well as come back again. So thank you very much. I'd like to extend the courtesy of the Senate to both you, John, and Linda. Thank you. I recognize Senator Mark Hass, please.
Mr. President, I want to recognize and extend courtesies to Kurt Wilson and Kelly Howell of Pivot Architecture, who are here today. And you may not know that Pivot was the design firm behind the beautiful restoration project of our Capitol wings. Pivot finished under budget and ahead of schedule, and they incorporated sustainable design and energy-efficient strategies that have led to an immediate 20% reduction in energy costs. Just so you know, their design strategies included high-efficiency plumbing fixtures for water conservation, materials with low VOC, volatile organic compounds, use of daylight and efficient light fixtures, reuse of the historic embossed doorknobs, and greater ADA accessibility and signage. The restoration project also successfully recycled 75% of all of the demolition instead of sending it off to the landfill. We started with clogged, rusty pipes, dimly lit spaces, outdated electrical data systems, and inefficient heating. And today, colleagues, we have pound for pound, watt for watt, the most energy efficient, greenest Capitol building in the country. So, Mr. President, I ask you to join me in extending courtesies and publicly thanking Pivot Architecture and the architects for their thoughtful design and for transforming our Capitol into the energy-efficient, beautiful design that we enjoy today.
Thank you. I think there has been some recognition. I'm not sure there's been enough. They did do an extraordinary job, as well as many others, in the reformation of the wings. In so many ways, we do take great pride in the energy savings, the green approach to it, and bipartisan approach that the good Senator Ferrioli and Senator Devlin and others, as well as we work very hard to bring a sense of history, but a sense of modernness and restoration to the wings. To be sure, the architects captured that, captured our feelings, and did an extraordinary job, as has just been outlined through a litany of accomplishments that has just been set out by Senator Mark Haas. So thank you, Senator Haas, and to the architects. You now have a portfolio that must be extraordinary, because what you did in the wings was extraordinary. So thank you, Senator Haas. Are there further courtesies? We're now under our remonstrances. Recognize Senator Bill Morissette, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. There's a great demonstration display in the Galleria today, put on by the surgical technicians, the surgical techs. And if you're looking for a new hip or a new knee, or if you have had a hip or knee replacement, please go down and take a look at the models that they have used, and you will see what your replacement looks like. I have had two hip replacements, and I understand now what they did. I didn't quite understand it before. They didn't explain it in graphic terms. They also clarified the kinds of movements and exercises and pounding and so on that I can do safely with my hip replacements, which they didn't say before. The knee replacements, they have the models. They show you what they would be doing and what it would look like, and talk about all kinds of related issues. So they're in the Galleria. They're doing a lot of different things, including model operations. They're actually working on a dummy down there, and I suggested a couple of the lobbyists stand in line and take their turn to be worked on. But it's really a great thing to see if you have any interest at all in those procedures. So I would suggest that you go to the Galleria when we're through on the floor. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions from the Governor.
Mr. President, I have the Governor inform you he has approved and signed the following bill, Senate Bill 234.
Questions from the House.
Mr. President, I request speaker form the House has passed. House Bills 2109, 2062, 2063, 2303. House Bills 2475, 2653, 2654, 2111, 2344, 2498, 2695. Adopted SJM 5 and SCR 3 and has signed SB 97, 164, 160 and House Bill 2562.
Reports from conference committees. Reports from standing committees. In accordance with SR 8.551 committee report summary number 41, which distributed to members March 19th. And summary number 42 was distributed March 20th. This information will be recorded in the Journal of State's report in so ordered. Reports from the special committees. Opposition to motion. I recognize Senator Devlin, please.
Thank you, Mr. President, colleagues. I move that final consideration of HCR 3 be made a special order of business immediately.
Senator Richard Devlin has moved that the consideration of HCR 3 be made a special order of business meeting. Would you speak to your motion, please?
Thank you, Mr. President, colleagues. We want to move this forward to pay recognition to our former colleague and also, for many of us, a former friend who was with us far too short a time.
Thank you. Question is on making HCR 3 a special order of business immediately. Those in favor will please say aye. Aye. And those opposed, no. This motion has carried. We will now proceed to the special order of business. The clerk will read the resolution.
House Concurrent Resolution 3, Memoriam Brian Johnson, 1949-2008.
Recognize Senator Floyd Pazansky to carry the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, it's my pleasure and my honor to be here today and to stand here carrying HCR 3. For recognition of a colleague of ours, many of us who served with him, and someone I have known for the last 10 years, that gave me so much value in my life as to having the opportunity to not only serve with Brian Johnston, but to meet his family, to work with him and others in the legislative process, and to see how Brian was so unselfishly sharing his life with the community and also the state abroad. Let me start off with that, with let's call it some of the demographics. Brian moved to Oregon in 1978, and in doing so, he basically left his area of the country, Chicago, Illinois, and brought with him such worth, knowledge, and understanding. And based on his degree that he received at Loyola University in Chicago, his law degree, took him into first in the area of Cook County as a public defender. And from there, he actually got into, let's say, more of his passion. One of his passions is being part of a drum and bugle corps, which my understanding is really the reason why he actually was, let's say, out here in Oregon and actually met his wife, Ann, through that process. Brian and Ann had four children, Drew, Courtney, Zach, and John. And what I want to do is just basically pay tribute to Brian, and at the same time recognize the legacy that he has given to the community. And it was starting off at this point that two of the children, Drew as well as Courtney, are here with us in this legislative assembly, serving the body in capacities for making certain that the work that we need to do as senators or as representatives for the state is being carried out. Now, I first met Brian in 1999, and at that time it was basically coming in as a freshman representative. Brian also, as well as there are 21 of us that started that session as freshmen. And there were five of us that basically kind of, let's say, bonded together, and as the years went on, we were somewhat referred to as the five amigos. What we experienced in that process is learning from each other the gifts that we each had, and what the four of us recognized about Brian was that he was an individual that stood above us as to his knowledge, his ability to relate, and to actually make certain that everyone was heard. Now, most of the members here have had an opportunity to meet Brian either in his capacity as a representative or in his capacity as a professional. If you remember 2 years ago in our introductions to the session, we had an opportunity to go through our Senate school of learning how to get together, how to work together, and how to actually process very, very difficult decisions that we as senators need to make, and do it in a way that is professional, respective, and with the understandings of how you allow each to be heard, and then you make decisions and hopefully not take it to a personal level, but maintaining that friendship of representing yourself through that process. Brian carried this forward in many, many areas of his work, and it's worth noting that, and including some of the things that he has done, of course, being a founding faculty member of the Center of Dispute Resolution at the Willamette College of Law. That is where he honed many of his skills that he used professionally throughout this country. He also served as the interim president of the Willamette University, the dean of Atkinson Graduate School of Management at the Willamette University, and also was an associate dean at the law school. As I mentioned, he served in the legislature. He served three terms. 1995 was the first, 97, and then also 99. During this process, as I said, I had the opportunity to learn from him and the value of being able to express yourself and be respectful to others, and being able to draw out of individuals their skill sets and making certain that we honored those. And it was his direction that I used as a focal point for my own career and trying to make certain that I was being inclusive through this process. Now, some people would say that Brian had a means of, let's say, being persuasive. Well, that's what his job was. But he did it in a way that actually that you felt good about whatever decisions were made, that you were part of that process, and that you weren't going to be left out at all. Now, the other part that I think was very important in my learnings from Brian is how to work hard but also play hard. Because as all of us know in this work that we do, it is a very tense times. We're working to that point now where we're about a third of the way, close to half of the way through the session. And as we get closer and closer toward the end of the session for sine die, things will get more tense. And you do, in fact, need to be able to take time from yourself and be able to actually have those releases. And Brian was one of those individuals that could actually bring these out at times of where many people would be extremely tense. All of a sudden, it's like a balloon being deflated, that he would actually take that pressure off. Everyone would take a deep breath, and then they would go forward and make the decisions. And I think it's real important also to recognize, as I said earlier about the family, Ann has stood by Brian's side and gave him a lot of opportunities to be a very participant person, not only in the legislature, but also in state government. And it's important for us to recognize that at times where there were a need, he was one of the individuals that our governors have actually called upon to actually assist where there needed to be someone of a calm stature that could, in fact, help through this process of making decisions that needed to be made. And he did, in fact, serve in the Department of Human Services in that capacity and also in other countless committees and boards for the state and for the community. He was the interim director also of the United Way here in the Mid-Willamette Valley. And it's just important for me to just acknowledge that what he brought to us by moving from his state of Illinois and becoming an Oregonian has valued and enriched all of us here in this chamber, as well as all of the individuals that have served him with him, and also, I believe, the constituents that we all serve. Because his decision that he made was always in a process of openness, trying to do what it was best in the way of policies for this state, and he was, in fact, an individual who not only, let's say, talked the talk, but he walked the walk. And that's the part that I found so inspiring in my limited time with Brian. As the good senator from Tualatin has said, he was here on this earth for a very short period of time. But I would tell you that the time that he was here was fulfilled to the maximum, that he did, in fact, carry out a life that he felt was important, one that he put others before his own needs. And as you can see, the amount of time that he served in this communities, the state, clearly he was not one that was bashful to actually be part of this process. There are times where I know that some of us would find Brian to be somewhat intense, but the intenseness was for making certain that we understood the impact of whatever type of policies we were debating and discussing as to the ramification, because he was one who believed that we needed to make certain that those who could not be here on their own, for those who could not be heard, had a voice. And I believe that Brian Johnston was not only a voice for those individuals, but he was also a means of letting us understand the importance. So when we're doing the work, as we carry on the legacy that we do as legislators, that we make certain that those whose voices have been silenced because of their social economic status or because of their inability to actually have access, understand that we understand their needs when we do our work. I want to look over to the side now and give recognition to the family that are here today. And I see one of the amigos is also here, Mike Lehman. For those who don't know who were the amigos besides Mike, Terry Thompson, Tony Corcoran, and of course myself and Brian. And I want to thank all of you, and Ann, I want to thank you and the kids for being here and for taking the time to giving us that opportunity to not only know Brian, but to work with him, because what he's given us, we believe, has enriched this whole state. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Brzezinski. Recognize Senator Jeff Cruz, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's an honor for me to stand up and say a few words about my good friend, Brian Johnson. And he was a good friend of mine. I can remember, Mr. President, in the 1999 session, towards the end, when you, as minority leader in the House, had some medical issues and were somewhat limited in your ability to actually perform the duties of minority leader. And I believe it was Brian Johnson and Kitty Piercy who stepped into that void to get us out of the close of that session. And I would say that Brian handled those duties with dignity and respect for the process and respect for the legislature. And because, especially in the House, sometimes things can get a little contentious. And he helped us not go there. And I always had a great deal of respect for that. Oh, I'm sorry, was it 97? Okay. I'm old, the years kind of fade. But my work with Brian didn't end there. Most recently, one of his last jobs was for Department of Human Services. And he stepped into a very contentious issue having to do with some problems in our foster care system. And he kind of became a lightning rod. But that as well he handled with dignity and respect. I remember we were both part of a sensitive review committee on that particular case. And I remember at one point in one of those meetings, somebody on the phone accused Brian of playing politics with the situation. And I broke into that conversation. I said, excuse me, I've known Brian Johnson for 10 years. He doesn't play politics. He does what's right. Brian came up to me afterwards and he said, Jeff, I guess I owe you. And I said, Brian, you don't owe me a thing. You were doing the right thing. And that's not a debt you owe to anybody. You just do the right thing. I miss him. I truly do. He's a liberal Democrat, a conservative Republican. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He was a friend of mine. I've had as much respect for Brian as I think almost anybody I've served with. And I told him that on several occasions. His service to this state was exemplary, and he will be sorely missed, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Cruz. Recognize Senator Johnson, please. Betsy Johnson.
Brian Johnson was one of the finest men I ever knew. He was married to a childhood friend of mine, Anne. Our parents came to Redmond after World War II and stayed there to help create a community. Brian was a perfect fit in the extended Unger family. He was witty, funny, insightful, profoundly committed. He was a utility infielder in state government service. Brian ran agencies, taught agencies, mediated, mentored, and managed. You know from the preceding remarks what a remarkable person he was. What you wouldn't necessarily know was how kind he was. Whenever he and Ann gathered at the Ungers in Central Oregon, Brian always went out of his way to include my widowed elderly mother. He went to fetch her, always got her a drink, and then settled into the latest political gossip, most spirited debate on education or health care policy. They didn't always agree, but Mother relished mixing it up with Brian. On the occasions we joined the Unger clan for Thanksgiving dinner, it was always a race to see who got to sit next to Brian. Throughout any evening, he was constantly the center of gravity. Occasionally courtly, sometimes acerbic, passionate, scary, smart, Oregon has rarely, if ever, had a more committed citizen. Brian's goal always seemed to be to leave people or places better than he found them. We were elevated, instructed, challenged, and inspired by Brian. Oregon was enriched by his civic engagement, and we are a lesser place with his untimely death.
Thank you, Senator Johnson. Recognize Senator Jackie Winters.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I rise in support. For those of you who, of us who've known Brian, and I want to thank Ann and family for being a part of Brian's life and actually helping him and giving him to our community. There's some very unique things about Brian. Brian and I had a lot of political battles. We were on different sides of the political spectrum. However, having said that, once the political battle was over, you could count on Brian, no matter what it is, and go to him and ask him for assistance. He and our community here in Salem, whether it was to ask Brian to head up fundraising for capital construction for the school bond for West Salem, to ask him to head up a bond for Shemakada or our current, our Salem-Kaiser School District, he was there. If you ask Brian, when I went to him and said, Brian, I need to pull together the community to eradicate methamphetamine in our community, Brian was there. I don't think in our community here in Salem, where he resided, that there was not any request that you could not go to Brian and ask for his assistance that he ever would tell you no. I think that says a lot for the person. It says a lot when the individual is so committed to his family and the community that he's there every day in and out, and you could see him, and he is very witty. He's also an individual who can make you feel, after things have been adverse, that it's okay, he will be there for you. And Ann, again, thank you for sharing him with us. He will be sorely missed in the Salem greater community, and I know here in the halls of Salem.
Thank you, Senator Winters. Further discussion? Senator Brzezinski, do you wish to close?
Thank you. Yes, Mr. President. Mr. President, it's never easy to say goodbye to a good friend. But I have with me the faith and the feeling and knowledge that he's still with me, he's with all of us, and that his legacy will continue. He was a great individual that we pay tribute to today. Thank you.
Thank you. Question now rises upon the third reading, the final passage of H.C.R. 3. Those of the opinion the bill shall pass will say aye, and those opposed no. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter, Devlin,
aye.
Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, President Courtney,
yes,
Carter, excused, Bates, Boquist, Nelson, 27 ayes.
H.C.R. 3, I've received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. I want to speak to the family. I cannot see everyone. I know that Ann is there. I hope the children, Drew and Courtney and Zach and John, are there too. I know the good representative, Mike Lehman, joins them. I remember Brian Johnson very well. Yes, I was very sick in 97 with a detached retina, but there were other difficult times, too. I do not believe in my legislative career that there's anyone who could equal his incredible ability to negotiate and mediate. I think that he was given very special skills. And in this business, as well as the business of life, you can't survive. Not only in terms of what he did in the public, he actually is a personal favorite of me and my wife. I'll be careful here, I'll get in trouble with my wife. He went out to Mount Angel one night and sort of helped with a family discussion we were having in terms of being a negotiator and a mediator. And I remember it because he settled things down, and I'll just leave it at that. And he didn't have to do that for me. In higher education, he was an extraordinary student of higher education, not just in terms of administration, but in terms of the academic side. He was the interim president for Willamette University, the dean of their graduate school, Atkins High School, and he was on his way to being the president of St. Martin's Benedictine School in Lacey, Washington. It is a very good school. And I remember how painful it was. As you know, IPA announced the men and women's basketball game for Western Oregon University, and St. Martin's in our conference. And when we played St. Martin's women's team here a few months ago, I went up to their coach, and the coach drew back when I told her about Brian. She says, oh, Peter, the campus is still just totally devastated. They really, really wanted him to come there, and they were really, really looking forward to his leadership at St. Martin's. He'd have done an extraordinary job up there, and they were devastated. But the last time I talked to Brian, he called me. He was trying to get money out of me to get a school bond measure passed. And we got talking about St. Martin's, and as much as he wanted to do that and would have done that, he assured me one day he was coming back to Oregon, my Oregon. He really, really was. He loved Oregon. He came here from Chicago. Anybody who comes from Chicago is tough to begin with. He then meets Ann, and I think I'm going to get in trouble here. You talked about the Redmond reference, Sarah Johnson, Unger. I think she was a dental hygienist. I don't know how they met, but they got along pretty well, pretty fast. And they have the four children I just acknowledged. And he's very devoted there. As a civic leader, anything going on in my community, every organization, every task force wanted Brian as the leader. He wanted Brian. In fact, the school bond measure that we got passed, I didn't think we were going to get it passed. He was the leader. Unfortunately, he had passed on when the vote was taken, but he was always that kind of person. So he could do it all. And I you should know that Courtney, the daughter, went to school with my Sean, who was here last week at St. Joe's, and they were May Day partners once, many years ago, when they were very young. And she's in the building. She is helping, and Senator Floyd Bozanski and others, is the staff person for the Judiciary Committees here. And Drew is the legislative assistant, I believe, for Tobias Reed. So Brian is here through his children in the building helping us get through this extraordinarily difficult session. I know how proud he is of that. Zach is an extraordinary public speaker. What he did during the memorial service for Brian at Queen of Peace, I don't know how he could do what he did. I don't know how he and John could do what they did in the memorial service for their father. They had just lost their dad, and they did an extraordinary thing that day, as did Mike Lehman. So Ann and Drew and Courtney and Zach and John, the state Senate has just paid its highest honor, given its greatest respect, to your husband and your father and your loved one. And I know you're suffering and you're hurting. I just hope in some small way what we did today could ease your pain. So you're in our thoughts and our prayers. Thank you, my fellow senator, for allowing me to make that statement. I will now recognize Senator Lori Montes Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 96.
So Lori Montes Anderson has moved the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 96. To your motion.
Federal law, we found out, has lots of ways to consider what a veteran is, and therefore the changes were made so that we could provide the broadest definition and statute so that all eligible veterans, as defined, have access to their benefits.
Richard.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Those of you that opinion the Senate should concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 96 will answer aye's names called. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Bonnes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzozinski. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Bates. Boquist. Nelson. 27 ayes.
Senate Bill 96. Having received a constitutional majority, declared passed. Senator Devlin, do you?
Thank you, Mr. President, colleagues. Request a 15-minute caucus, and I would request the caucus members to go directly to the caucus room. And for the Senate Democrats, the Gilkey students can stay here, and there will be a question and answer period for them.
Senator Ferrioli.
Mr. President, we concur. The Senate Republicans, please come directly to the caucus room, and the Gilkey students remain for what I hope will be a lively Q&A with our staff.
The Senate will be in recess until about 5 minutes to 11. Senate is now in recess. Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. The Senate will please come to order, and the clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Burdick, Carter, Carter, Devlin, Devlin, Dingfelder, Dingfelder, Farioli, Farioli, George, George, Girard, Girard, Haas, Haas, Johnson, Johnson, Cruz, Cruz, Metzger, Bonas Anderson, Bonas Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morissette, Morse, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Starr, Telfer, Telfer, Berger, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Whitsett, Winters, Winters, President Courtney.
The Senate will please come to order. The clerk will please call the roll. Right. A quorum is present. The Senate is recessed under the order of propositions and motions. It will resume under that order. It's so ordered. Screwed that up, Peter. Recognize Senator Richard Devlin, please. Senator Richard Devlin, I'm calling on you. You got something to do. You got a motion to make.
Yes, Mr. President. I should be attending to business, Mr. President.
Yeah, you should.
I move the consideration of Senate Bill 61 be taken from its place on today's calendar and placed on the Monday, April 13th calendar.
Senator Devlin moves that the consideration of Senate Bill 61 be taken from its place on today's calendar and placed on Monday's April 13th calendar. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. We believe that that's a better time for consideration of this bill.
The question is on taking SB 61 from today's calendar and placing it on Monday's April 13th calendar. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. This motion has carried. Action on executive appointments requiring Senate confirmation. Introduction, first reading of Senate measures.
Senate Bill 968, on public employees.
Transmitted to the President's desk for referral. Second reading of Senate measures.
Senate Joint Memorial 11, Congress to fund claim efforts at Hanford Nuclear Reservation. Senate Bill 41, related to Education Service District. Senate Bill 146, related to State Board of Massage Therapists. Senate Bill 2389, related to notices required for foreclosures of trustees and court emergencies. Senate Bill 277, related to access to toilet facilities. Senate Bill 344, related to county officers. Senate Bill 391, related to exotic animals. Senate Bill 438, related to regulation of credit unions and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 596, related to decontaminated diphenyl ether.
These are passed to the calendar. Third reading of Senate measure. The clerk, please read the bill.
Senate Bill 89, relating to explosives.
Recognize Senator Floyd Prezansky.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'm carrying the bill for the good senator from West Valley. He has been excused today because of his military duty. This bill comes out of the Judiciary Committee, Senate Bill 89. It came out on a 5-0 vote. Basically, what this is going to allow is they're going to exempt individuals who have the Bureau of Alcohol and Tobacco and Firearms and Explosives permits to not have to file and get one from the State Fire Marshal's Office. So basically, it reduces the requirements on individuals that qualify to have these explosives in their possession. It also gives some clarification that those who are transporting those type of explosives only needs to have one of the two permits. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Recognize Senator Frank Morris.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to declare a potential conflict of interest.
Please state your potential conflict of interest.
Thank you. I chair a company board, and I have financial interests in a company that is licensed by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Frank Morris, potential conflict of interest has been placed on the record. Further discussion? Question now rises upon the third reading and final passage. Senate Bill 89. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Walker. Walker.
Senator Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
Yeah.
Bates. Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist. Burdick.
Aye.
Carter.
Aye.
Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Ferrioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Gerard. Hass.
Aye.
Johnson. Johnson.
Senator Johnson, excused.
Cruz. Metzger. Juan Anderson, Monroe,
aye.
Morissette,
aye.
Morse, Nelson, Przanski,
aye.
Rosenbaum,
aye.
Schrader,
aye.
President Courtney,
yes,
excused, Bates, Boquist, Johnson, Nelson, 26 ayes.
The Senate Bill 89, Amnesty Constant Majority, declared passed. Clerk, read the bill.
Senate Bill 127, related to pension responsibility requirements for motor vehicles.
Recognize Senator Berger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Come to you with Senate Bill 127B, Oregon's Mandatory Insurance Law, ORS 806.10, requires drivers to demonstrate financial responsibility by insuring their vehicles. The minimum liability insurance a driver must carry is listed in statute. Coverage must be certified each time a motor vehicle is registered. Individuals found to have driven while uninsured as a result of a citation for a moving violation, for example, must file proof of financial responsibility for 3 years in order to retain driving privileges. Persons involved in an accident while driving uninsured have their driver's license automatically suspended. Senate Bill 127B clarifies and simplifies responsibilities for individuals to show proof of compliance with the financial responsibility requirements after their vehicles are involved in motor vehicle collisions while uninsured.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion? Question now arises upon the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 127. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Telfer.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
Yes.
Bates. Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist. Burdick.
Aye.
Carter.
Aye.
Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder. Farioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Girard.
Aye.
Hass.
Aye.
Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Bonnie Anderson. Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson. Przonski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Bates, Boquist, Johnson, Nelson, 26 ayes.
The Senate Bill 127, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 313, related evidence.
Recognize Senator Brzezinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this bill also came out of judiciary on a 5-0 vote. Senate Bill 313 is going to establish a privilege between a child and the parent. The child has to be under the age of 18. There are other qualifiers. What this basically is going to do, Mr. President, is if the child goes to the parent, or one that qualifies as a parent, and gives information that would be incriminating against the child, the parent cannot be forced to go into court and testify against the child. This is very similar to other privileges that are on the books, including between spouses and attorney-client, as well as patients, physician type of relationships. This is just will only extend this privilege to a child and their parent. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Brzezinski. Discussion? Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 313. Those opinion bills pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Berger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
Yes.
Bates. Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist. Burdick.
Aye.
Carter.
Aye.
Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Farioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Girard.
Aye.
Hass. Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Bates, Boquist. Excused. Bates, Boquist, Nelson, Johnson. Voting no, Farioli, Telfer, 24 ayes.
The Senate Bill 313, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 314, with accident reports.
Recognize Senator Floyd Brzezinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 314 also comes out of judiciary on a 5-0 vote. This basically is going to set up a requirement that the drivers or an occupant, when the driver is not able to report immediately to a law enforcement authority of an accident that has occurred. The requirements for reporting is basically what is set now for reporting, where there is actual injury or death to a individual within the vehicle or outside as a result of the accident, or if there's property damage in excess of $1,500. The purpose for the bill is to allow law enforcement to get the information sooner, because currently the only obligation to do these type of reports is within a 72-hour period that's filed with DMV. So this will, in fact, allow law enforcement to be able to respond more simultaneous to the act or the accident that couldn't cause injury, death to an individual, or accident that resulted in property damage of over $1,500. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Senator Girard, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. A quick question to the carrier.
Will the carrier yield?
Yes.
Carrier will yield.
I just was involved in a fender bender, and I'm really curious how the individual is supposed to know if it's $1,500 up or down.
Mr. President, it's the same, standard that is used today as to whether you believe it is or isn't $1,500. If you think it's questionable, then the advice that has been given to many people is that you should file. I would suggest that you not only file the As required by law now, with the 72 hours with the Department of Motor Vehicles, the blue form, but under this law, it would be appropriate for you to report to the law enforcement by using a cell phone or some other means as to the accident occurring, and then you would be covered. And it is also in good faith.
Further discussion? Question arises about third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 314. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Walker. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Juanes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, President Courtney. Excused, Bates, Boquist, Johnson, Nelson. Voting no, Atkinson, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, Morse, Telfer, Winters, 18 ayes.
Senate Bill 314, I'm Chief Counsel George Clare, passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 371, related trusts.
Recognized Senator Doug Whitsett.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 371 was filed at the request of the Oregon State Bar Estate Planning Section, passed out of Judiciary Committee 4-0. Senate Bill 371 revises the Oregon Uniform Trust Code, which was signed into law in 2005. The major changes include providing an advisor to the trustee in limited decisions, allowing modifications of trust within court approval in certain circumstances, and eliminating the requirement to give a notice of trust agreements to token beneficiaries. The code was intended to make the application of the law more unified and helpful. However, as often happens here, due to several technical errors, some of the language was restrictive and even contradictory. The technical changes in Senate Bill 371 would fix those mistakes. The fees mentioned in this bill, page 6, line 23 to 30, are not new fees and already exist in statute. They are just moved from one statute to this chapter of this statute. Senate Bill 371 has no fiscal impact, no revenue impact. I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator Whitson. Discussion? Question now arises upon the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 371. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick.
No, Whitsett carried the
Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Gerard. Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Juanes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused, Bates, Boquist, Nelson, voting no. George, 26 ayes.
Senate Bill 371, I'm Chief Constable George, declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 373, laying orders to withhold.
Recognize Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, this bill came to us unanimously from the Judiciary Committee. It's here today because of what happened to Brett Arvidson, a constituent of mine, but it's important for all non-custodial parents in Oregon who are doing their best to provide for their children. Our laws place stringent requirements on non-custodial parents, and rightly so, but sometimes they're maligned. This happened to Brett, who was wrongly labeled a deadbeat dad. In fact, he's a responsible, hardworking parent who's dedicated to his daughter. His then-employer was withholding child support payments from his paycheck, but admitting a cash flow problem, the employer failed to send the payments to Brett's daughter again and again. Brett was held responsible under Oregon's strict punishment for non-custodial parents who fail to pay child support. His credit was damaged. His tax return was seized. His professional license threatened. Most painful to Brett was when his family questioned him about the situation. After 64 out of 82 payments were late, to Brett's daughter, he sued his employer. He won, but the Court of Appeals reversed the decision and held that he could have recovered if the court if the employer withheld too much, but not if they paid late. Senate Bill 373A fixes that. This bill provides that a person or entity served with an order to withhold child support payments is responsible for damages suffered by the parent or child as a result of a failure to pay as ordered. It clarifies that this includes not only withholding amounts in excess, but also failing to pay in the time specified by the statute. It also allows the Division of Child Support or a district attorney to get involved if this situation should occur again, something that did not happen in Brett's case. Finally, if the employer's action is willful or grossly negligent, there can be penalties of up to $250 for each violation of the order and the recovery of reasonable attorney's fees. Please join me in recognizing good parents and their efforts to support their children by voting aye on Senate Bill 373A. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Discussion. Question on rise, upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 373. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Winters. Atkinson.
Yes.
Bates. Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist. Burdick.
Aye.
Carter. Carter. Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder. Farioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Bonis Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Bates. Boquist. Johnson. Nelson. Voting no. Cruz. 25 ayes.
Senate Bill 373. Mr. Custom George Clerk pass. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 380. Relating testimony in criminal proceedings.
Recognize Senator Przonski.
Thank you, Mr. President. This, again, is a bill that I'm carrying on behalf of the good senator from West Valley. This is a bill that comes out of judiciary on a 5-0 vote. What this bill actually allows is for an expert witness in a criminal trial to be able to testify via what's known as a simulcast electronic transmission, so long as both parties consent to that type of testimony. So this would allow for the individual expert to not be in the courtroom, but it would be live. So there could be the appropriate cross-examination that would go on at that time. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Discussion? Question now rises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 380. Those opinion bills pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Atkinson.
Yes.
Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick.
Aye.
Carter.
Aye.
Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder. Farioli. George.
Aye.
Gerard. Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Bonas Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Bates, Boquist, Nelson, 27 ayes.
Senate Bill 380, have received custom majority, declared passed. Clerk reads the bill.
Senate Bill 404, relating to attorneys in court emergency.
Recognize Senator Whitsett.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 404 comes from the Judiciary Committee on a 5-0 vote. Senate Bill 404 has no revenue impact, no fiscal impact. The bill corrects a provision of law enacted in 1862 that was intended to hold attorneys responsible in collecting costs from distant parties. This is no longer an issue. This bill simply repeals an 1862 law that hasn't been used for over 100 years. I urge an aye vote, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Winsett. For discussion? Question on rise upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 404. Those opinion bills pass it. So say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Get ready.
Bates.
Get ready.
Bonamici.
When I get through this, you can
Boquist.
So you go
Burdick.
Right that when I get through this.
Carter.
We got House bills.
Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Farioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
No.
Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Whatever.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson. Brzozinski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Verger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
Yes.
President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Bates. Boquist. Nelson. Voting no. George. Girard. Cruz. 24 ayes.
Senate Bill 404, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. First reading of House measures.
House Bill 2062, limiting misconduct by school employees and prescribing effective date. House Bill 2063, limiting mandatory reporting on child abuse and court emergency. House Bill 2109, professional technical education. House Bill 2111, relating to public charter school development fund and court emergency. House Bill 2303, limiting service member civil relief act and court emergency. Senate Bill, House Bill 2344, limiting discovery of sexually explicit material. House Bill 2475, limiting cargo container property tax exemption. House Bill 2498, relating to aviation safety and court emergency. House Bill 2653, limiting corporate income taxation and prescribing effective date. House Bill 2654, limiting local option taxes. House Bill 2065, relating to recordation of instruments and county records.
Transmitted to the President's desk for referral. Second reading of House measures.
House Bill 2061, relating graduation requirements and court emergency. House Bill 2336, relating to impeachment witnesses.
Passed a calendar. Third reading of House measures. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2045, relating persons authorized to make findings of impairment for rating of injured workers' disability.
Chair recognizes Senator Brzozinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, House Bill 2045 comes from your Commerce and Workforce Development Committee on a 5-0 vote. It also passed on the floor of a 59-0 vote. What this bill actually does is going to clarify that a chiropractor who is serving as an attending physician at the time of a workers' compensation claim closure may, in fact, make findings regarding the injured worker's impairment for purposes of evaluation for the worker's disability. This does have complete MLAC approval, and we ask for your support as well.
Further discussion? Not Senator Brzozinski, do you wish to close? He does not. Question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2045. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Bonamici. Bonamici.
Go on.
Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Farioli. George. Girard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzozinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Starr. Telfer. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. President Courtney. Excused. Bates. Boquist. Nelson. 27 ayes.
House Bill 2045, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2170, relates to sex offender registration.
Chair recognizes Senator Whitsett.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2170 was filed at the request of the Oregon State Police, passed through the House unanimously 57-0, and passed through the Senate Judiciary Committee with unanimous consent. Under current Oregon law, sex offenders that live outside of Oregon but who work or attend school in Oregon are required to register under Oregon law. However, there's a gap in the law so that offenders who move into the state and attend school or work at an institution of higher education in Oregon do not have to register. House Bill 2150 would close this glitch and require administration within 10 days of the first day of school or the 14th day of employment. The bill has no revenue impact, no fiscal impact, and urge an aye vote.
Further discussion? Not Senator Whitsett, do you wish to close? He does not. Question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2170. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Farioli. George. Girard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzozinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. President Courtney. Excused. Bates. Boquist. Nelson. 27 ayes.
House Bill 2170, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2195, relating to vocational rehabilitation petition providing workers' compensation claims.
Chair recognizes Senator George.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2195 comes to you from the Senate Commerce and Workforce Development Committee with a unanimous vote. The bill streamlines and clarifies three processes relating to workers' compensation vocational assistance programs. First, it replaces a certification with a registry for vocational providers organizations, which will eliminate duplicate reporting, allows voluntary payment of temporary disability during training programs, and clarifies vocational assistance appeal language. The Management Labor Advisory Committee supports this legislation. It also passed the House on a 59-0 vote. I urge an aye vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Not Senator George, do you wish to close? He does not. Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2195. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Farioli. George. Girard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Munnis-Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. President Courtney. Excused. Bates, Boquist, Nelson, voting no. Atkinson, 26 ayes.
House Bill 2195, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2197, Workers' Compensation.
Chair recognizes Senator Munnis-Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2197 comes to you from the House with a 60-0 vote, and it came out of Commerce and Workforce Development with a unanimous vote. This bill makes a number of changes to workers' compensation law intended to streamline regulations and reduce the burden on businesses while improving the benefit delivery to workers and enhancing understanding and readability of the law. The Management Labor and Advisory Committee also supports this bill. Basically, it eliminates duplicate notice of closure law. It conforms specific care provider timeframes. The 2007 legislature expanded who can provide a higher level of service under the workers' comp system and made certain treatment timeframes consistent, but inadvertently, the timeframe wasn't changed for services provided by a small group of providers, such as acupuncturists and psychologists. So this bill makes the timeframe services consistent for all provider types. It also streamlines reemployment assistance program employer requirements. An employer that hires an injured worker with permanent disability can get assistance from the Department of Consumer and Business Services to modify their work site to accommodate the worker. One of these programs was eliminated in 2001. However, some of the program's reporting requirements were not removed from the law. So this bill removes the obsolete reporting language to eliminate confusion and modernize the statute. It also finally clarifies the duration of premium assistance exemption for preferred workers. As an incentive to hire permanently disabled workers, an employer does not pay the cost of workers' comp insurance premiums and premium assessments attributed to the worker. So if the worker is injured on the job, the employer's workers' comp insurance costs are not impacted. This last provision has a 3-year time limit, and the law is not clear on the time limit for the exemption from payment of premiums and premium assessments. This bill actually clarifies that the 3-year time limit applies to all three areas: insurance premiums, premium assessments, and employer experience. Oops, sorry, one more item. It also clarifies administrative review of medical fee disputes. And under current law, a party is required to request administrative review if a dispute exists about either the amount of a medical service fee or non-payment of bills for medical services. Formal administrative review is unnecessary if the parties want to resolve the dispute informally. This bill allows the parties the opportunity to resolve a fee dispute informally while retaining their ability to request administrative review if they're unable to resolve the dispute. I urge and I vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? Not. Senator Mona Sanderson, do you wish to close? She does not. Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2197. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Montez Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. President Courtney.
Mr. President?
Excused. Bates, Boquist, Nelson, voting no, Atkinson, Gerard, Cruz, 24 ayes.
House Bill 2197, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. In accordance with SR 8.4 sub 3, committee referral list number 78 was distributed to the members March 18, and number 79 was distributed March 19th. The referrals will be recorded in the journal and status report. So ordered. Announcements. A reminder, we will not be in session on Monday. It will be in district day. We will be convening again on Tuesday. If there are no further announcements and without objection, the Senate is adjourned until 10:15 a.m. Tuesday, March 24.